at the start of our time together, learning from God's word. And so the two questions this morning, which you can talk to the person next to you, are these. If you knew that Jesus was coming to your home, how would you prepare? And who do you relate to in this story, Mary or Martha? Okay, off you go. So I don't know how you've answered those questions. Last Saturday, not yesterday, the Saturday before, it was Bethan's birthday. She was 14. And we had our largest kind of gathering at the manse yet so far in the new house. We had 14 people, 14 adults and teenagers over. They were Timothy's family. He has a large family. You'll probably hear more about that in the years to come. But anyway, that was just a small number of them. Anyway, there was lots of preparation for having lots of people in the house, lots of cleaning, lots of cooking, lots of sorting out so everybody would have enough places to sit, and so on and so forth. So I'm sure we all have had experience of putting together a time when we have people in our homes or we prepare for an event that we're hosting outside of our homes. And the second question, which do you relate to? We looked at this story on the Leaders Away Day and I asked each of them, you know, are you a Mary or a Martha? And then eventually, as it happens, you know, when you ask a question like that, it came back to me. And my answer was that I'm a recovering Mary. A recovering Martha. What am I talking about? A recovering Martha. Anybody who's ever been in the process of recovery, it's a process. We have good days and bad days. Sometimes it's I see the Martha come out in me. Sometimes I can manage to keep her in check more than others. I expect that some of you relate to that too. So we're continuing to answer two questions as we look at these passages together. What happens when people meet with Jesus? And what can we learn from Jesus and ourselves and our relationship with him from these encounters? So what's happening in this story? What happens when Jesus visits Mary and Martha? Beginning of the passage says this, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. So this is the first story, really, where the action takes place in someone's home. Jesus was invited into Mary and Martha's family home. And we know that it wasn't just them living there because later on in the Gospels, we hear about their brother Lazarus, who obviously had quite a dramatic encounter with Jesus because he raised him from the dead. But we're not looking at that now. But that's in John 11, if you want to read that story. And we know that also during that encounter, Martha, who doesn't always come out best in this story, actually was one of the first people in the Gospels, the first woman, certainly, to make a profession of faith. She was the first person to recognize who Jesus was because when he comes to be with the family because Lazarus is ill and then has died, she recognizes for who he is. And then Mary is at the tomb when Jesus had died, or so she thought. So this family we see throughout the Gospels. This encounter takes place also in a place of relationships. We see that Jesus had a relationship with them. So we don't know whether this was the beginning of the friendship or whether it was a bit further on, but we see that it's a place of friendship. And we also see, quite interestingly, and we see it in other places in the Gospels with other siblings, we see sibling relationships. Now, some of you, I'm sure, will be only children. I know one of two of you definitely are. Quite a lot of us have brothers and sisters, and that relationship is always interesting. Comes in a variety of shapes and sizes, and we see some of that real human kind of experience here in this story. This is also a place of discipleship. It's not just Mary and Martha here in the story. We have the other disciples too that have come into the house. Martha wasn't just getting ready just for one person. She was getting ready for, I don't know, more than a dozen to come into her house. And in that place of discipleship, there was this. The reason why Jesus came was to teach. Their home became a place of teaching for him. And the fact, actually, that Mary was able to sit at his feet and listen is quite significant. That wasn't the normal practice. It was very normal for rabbis to have disciples. Jesus wasn't the only rabbi that had disciples at that time. But those disciples were men. They weren't women. Jesus broke that cultural boundary and said that it didn't matter whether you're a woman or a man, you could be one of his disciples. So the fact that Mary could actually do that, could sit at his feet and listen, that he acknowledged her and indeed, you know, praised her for her wanting to learn from him is really significant. The story goes on. But Mary was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Now, while Mary's engaged in this discipleship, we have Martha, who is driven to provide for those that are in her house. She was actually doing what a woman would normally do in that context. She was fulfilling her gender role. She was supposed to be the person that made the food and made sure everything was ready for everyone. But in doing so, she became really anxious. You don't have a go at someone like she had a go at Mary. Often those sort of snaps that people make to one another, it's driven underneath it all by a level of anxiety. She was busy. And she was distracted from the fact that she had Jesus in her house teaching by all that she had to do. And this story is often portrayed as a kind of battle between activism, those people that get things done in the world, and those that contemplate and sit at Jesus' feet and pray and be and just adore Jesus. But I don't think that's really what's going on here. I don't think that really God disapproves of us serving others. And one thing that one reason for drawing that conclusion is this passage comes directly after the story of the Good Samaritan. And it's in the story of the Good Samaritan that actually the religious person who walked past the Samaritan because he was so intent on getting to worship is criticized in that story. And the person who is active, the person who saves, the person who helps, the person who serves, is the one that we are told to emulate. At the end of the day, people don't get rescued from the side of the road if we are in an eternal Bible study. Both of the women in this passage love Jesus. They both want to learn from him. Mary opened her home to him. She has a relationship with him. She wants him to be in her life. I wonder what you make of Mary's and Martha's complaint of Mary. "Don't you care that my sister has left me to do this work?" I wonder whether you've ever snapped like that. Was it anger or was it a call for help? Her activity is driven by comparison and insecurity. But she's also doing what was expected of her. How does the Lord reply to Martha? "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." Jesus doesn't actually reprimand Mary. He doesn't do what Martha wants him to do, to tell her off, to tell her to help. And Jesus' response doesn't actually answer Martha's concerns at all. And this response, this kind of "she's doing the better thing," is quite kind of painful to the ears of us Marthas. But his response is about our priorities. One commentator wrote this: service of the hand cannot supersede service with the ear, since the ear guides the heart and the hand. It's about the priority we give to things. It's not a competition between activism and contemplation. It's not a call to just 24/7 prayer and adoration. It's not that at all. It's asking what our priorities are. Jesus reminded Martha that a relationship with him and being his disciple and learning from him is the priority, and that everything else flows from that. So what can we learn about Jesus from this encounter? There's four things that I want us to think about. So first of all, Jesus values relationship. Mary, Martha, Lazarus, they were all friends of Jesus and they were in a family relationship together. And Jesus meets with them and teaches them in that context of family, in that context of relationship. Often Jesus calls his disciples to leave their life from behind. Quite a lot of the disciples left their families to follow Jesus. And we see him teaching on this sometimes. But here we see him teaching in the family home. And he knows about relationships. He sees this sibling tension. And he's really realistic about people. He understands people's motives, their flaws. He tackles their misunderstanding with compassion and kindness. Martha snaps at him, snaps about Mary, but his response is just a gentle, compassionate response, calling out what's really going on for her, the fact that she's worried and upset about many things. Secondly, Jesus values discipleship. As I've said, it should be our priority. Mary wanted to learn from Jesus. The phrase "sitting at his feet" is a way of saying that she recognized his authority. In the Greek, it gives that connotation. That she recognized that in that space, in that teaching space, he was in authority over her and had that authority over her life as well. I wonder who we are learning from. What priority we place on learning from Jesus. We can't invite him into our home, even if that would create a lot of work. But we can commit to reading our Bibles, to listening to Christian teaching, as well as listening to worship music, fellowshipping together, learning from one another about our Christian walk. And do we do that? Do we prioritize that more than the things that perhaps we do for him? It can be really, really hard, especially in some phases of life where serving others becomes something that we do so much, and taking that time to be a disciple alone can be really difficult. Service is important. It is part of our discipleship. I feel that very much that in actual fact, neither thing alone is full discipleship. You know, we are called to follow Jesus, and in following Jesus, we follow his example of serving others. We see that at the Lord's Supper. We see that all the way through his life. He doesn't call us in our discipleship to passivity and inaction. But in this passage, he shows us that being with him and learning from him is very much part of us following him. What we do for him must flow from what we learn from being with him. Thirdly, Jesus wants us to care more about him than what others are doing. Part of Martha's problem was that she was comparing herself to Mary. I mean, sisters do that quite a lot. I'm a sister. I've got a little sister. And there's a lot of comparing. There's always comparing. There's comparing because we're human beings. And in this story, Martha's really critical of Mary's choices. They say that comparison is the thief of joy. Comparing ourselves with others usually brings us down. Whether we're comparing ourselves with someone that we think is better than us or someone that we think we are better than, it's never really positive in the end. We shouldn't be focused on the behavior and choices of others. Rather, here, Jesus teaches us that we should be focused on him. We all do it. We're part of a fallen humanity. But Jesus is telling us that there's a better way and that we should challenge our own thinking when we fall into these mindsets and not give time either to those who want to criticize others. Finally, faith is about relationship, not activity. Our doing must come from our being. It is in being with Jesus that our identity in him is formed. Some of us are more activist than others. Some of us are more extroverted than others. Some of us are just more Martha than Mary. But being must come first. Our service must flow from our relationship and identity in Christ. Our relationship with Jesus and our identity in him. The truth is that God's love for us, Jesus' sacrifice for us, is not dependent, never has been and never will be, dependent on what we do for him. That's what grace is all about. More than anything else, we must know that we are his beloved children. That must be where our identity is. Because if we serve out of any other place, then we become anxious. We fall foul of comparison. We become proud. All these different things. Instead, we must learn to serve out of thankfulness and acceptance of the grace that God has given us through Christ. It's out of that thankfulness and thankfulness that the service flows. It's a really, really hard lesson to learn. We're so often taught that we have to do things. And actually, in this passage, the challenge is to be disciples, to be with Jesus, to learn from him as our priority.